A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Erechin Lamed Beis, Erechin 32a, pagination is 63. We're going to be discussing at our start the facing page, which was dealing with the redemption of Batei Orei Choma regarding the leap year consideration. So Batei Orei Choma are houses in a walled city, as opposed to Batei Chatzeirim, houses in an open area. Now, I will mention that sometimes people get confused. The word Chatzer sometimes means a yard, and we think of that as being fenced in. But in this context, it's Orei Choma, cities that have a wall, and Batei Chatzeirim means open cities. They don't have a wall. So the rule of Batei Orei Choma, as we saw on Amud Aleph of Lamed Aleph, is that you have 1 year in order to be able to redeem the house, meaning the seller has 1 year to redeem the house. After that, it goes lachalutin, firmly, into the hands of the buyer, and it cannot be redeemed. The consideration which the Mishnah mentioned on the word temima is that sometimes a year might actually be a little bit longer than you would think a year to be. We think a year to be 12 months. And in the case of a Jewish leap year, where there's a second Adar, which is actually the first Adar being inserted, you're going to end up with 13 months. Now, just to mention, the concept of the Jewish leap year is basically in order to correlate the lunar month with the lunar year with the solar year. A lunar year, meaning 12 months, since each month only has 29 and a half days, ends up being 354 days to the year, as opposed to a solar year, based on the solar cycle, the seasons, is 365. That's 11 days a year that the lunar cycle of 12 months is short. And therefore, approximately every 3 years, you end up with enough days of discrepancy to cause that to need an extra month. And we insert that, and we're able to keep the holidays on target so that Pesach, for example, will continue to fall out in the spring. For our purposes, there is such a thing as a leap year, which gets an extra month. Who benefits from that extra month? In our context, the buyer would like this year to expire as soon as possible so that the house that he bought should be his. He's holding up on all kinds of renovations until he knows for sure that it's his. The seller, on the other hand, needed the cash. He sold the house. He would like that this house should be available for redemption as long as possible, and he's quite pleased with this extra month, giving him certain options before those options expire. Our Gemara, let's take a look a third of the way down. Shetavo liyado is the beginning of the line, and then we begin. Amar Rav Abba bar Mamal, Rav Abba bar Mamal said, Mochar shtei batei orei choma. A person sold two houses in walled cities. Two different transactions. Echad b'chamisha asa ba'adar harishon, one at the 15th of the first Adar of a leap year, ve'echad ba'adar hasheni, and one of them he sold the first of the second Adar. In the following year, there's only one Adar, but what we encounter is that the first of the month happens before the 15th of the month, because in this new year, the two Adars are rolled into one, and one comes before 15. So even though the 15th of the first Adar happened first, and its 12 months should theoretically expire earlier, but it doesn't, there's an extra 15 days there till the end of the month. And the Adar Sheni transaction, which happened later, is actually going to expire earlier. Zeh shemachalo ba'adar sheni, kevin shegiya yom echad ba'adar shoshana haba, once the first day of the new year's Adar comes, also loshana, the year has expired. Zeh shemachalo b'chamisha also shal Adar rishon, but the one who sold on the, that was sold on the 15th of the first Adar, lo also loshana, it will not get counted as a year, ad chamisha asa ba'adar shoshana haba, until the 15th of the new year. So we encounter this as well by bar mitzvah dates. You could have somebody that's born in a leap year at the end of the first Adar, and someone else born after him, the beginning of the second Adar, but the person in the second Adar will be bar mitzvahed earlier, because when we roll them into one in the following year, if you're the beginning of the month, Adar Rishon or Sheni, you're going to come first before somebody who's the end of the month. Maskif lo Ravina, Ravina indeed asked, why can't the person who bought the 15th of Adar Rishon say, hey, I bought first, my rights of 12-month expiration should happen first? And the answer is, Amale at noches li'ivura, you're dealing with a leap year, and that extra time is going to count towards the rights of the seller. Va'amar Rav Abba Bar Mamel, Rav Abba Bar Mamel taught as well, Nodulo shnei teloyim, you could have two sheep being born, and they're firstborn, and they're supposed to be given to the Kohen to be used as karbanos within the first year, preferably. When does the first year expire? Echad b'chamisha asur shal Adar Rishon, one was born on the 15th of the first Adar, v'echad b'echad b'Adar Sheni, and one was born on the first of the second Adar, and we have the same concept. Zeh shenolad b'echad b'Adar Hasheni, the one who's born in the second Adar on the first, its year will expire earlier. Kohen better hustle if he wants to be able to bring the karban within the first year. But the one who has the sheep born in the 15th of the first Adar, he's not going to have it expire until the 15th of the new year's Adar, since the new year is not a leap year. Let's skip to today's daf, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll just do one basic concept. Counting up from the bottom, it's six lines. The Mishnah describes the parameters of Bate Ore Choma. What does it mean to have a house in a walled city? And the Mishnah states, Mukefes Choma Mimos Yehoshua Ben Nun. It's a walled city from the time of Yehoshua Ben Nun, when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael after the years in the desert. Now, we also have a concept of a walled city from the time of Yehoshua Ben Nun in the context of Purim, and it's important to realize that this is not working the same way. In the case of Purim, it's really based on Shushan, and that's why it's called Shushan Purim, the walled city at the time of Shushan, which was a way to remember that Shushan, which was a walled city, a fortified city, had an extra day to kill out the enemies in the capital city. And in order not to infringe on the premise, the importance of Eretz Yisrael, They also said that if it has a walled city from the times of Yoshua ben Nun, we accommodate, we work it in, we revise our concept, but it really was based on the time of Shushan. And Shushan itself has a wall that's going to have that law, but they revised from what their original intent was so that Eretz Yisrael should not be ignored less. Over here, this is not an accommodation. This is straightforward. Yoshua ben Nun's time is the time. And in fact, if it has a wall now, it's not going to have the rule of Batei Orei Choma. Now, the Gemara says, three lines up, Asher lo Choma, it has a wall, even though it does not have a wall now, but it had a wall at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, that qualifies. So you'll notice that the word lo is spelled very unusually, lamed vav aleph, and that's to signify that there's a kri and a ksiv here. The ksiv, the way it's written, is lo with an aleph, that it does not have a wall. The kri is lo with a vav, that it does have a wall. Well, which one is it? And this is a beautiful example of what we describe the kri ksiv dynamic. It's written in the way it looks now. That's how it looks. It looks in the world and it looks in the Torah. It looks the way it's written. But the real is according to the way it's read, our tradition. That's really conceptually, halachically, what's going on. And therefore, when you look at this city, lo with an aleph, it does not have a wall right now. But lo with a vav, it's the type of city that conceptually, if you know the halacha that you follow Yehoshua ben Nun's time, it sure does have a wall, which may have fallen down in the interim, but it still has the halacha of a walled city. And that just reinforces the importance of recognizing that kri ksiv is not in any way a typo, a copyist's error, a difference in opinion. It's literally a way of conveying, almost like with intonation, a way of conveying through the written text a double meaning, a more sophisticated meaning. It does not appear to have a wall, but it does halachically have a wall because it had one in the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.